John chapter 14. I'll get that in just a second. John chapter 14. This message will go right along with what we learned this morning and last week, that our God is good and faithful. Our God is good and faithful. So I want to kind of pick up or carry on from this morning. I have preached some of this in the past. But I really thought it fit in real good this morning. So, and last Sunday also. So, John chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. The Bible says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. The Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." May the Lord bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of His Word. Here in these verses, we see where Jesus plainly tells us that if we ask anything in His name, He will do it. You and I know that by keeping Scriptures in context with the rest of the Bible, that when we pray anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, according to 1 John chapter 5, then we have the assurance that He will answer us. So we ought to pray in Jesus' name. And in praying in Jesus' name, we are praying consistent in His will and with who He is. It's not just a term that we tag on to the end of a prayer just because we want to make it sound like it's spiritual. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There are those who do that. They'll pray for themselves. You know, most prayers are selfish prayers. We should never pray to fulfill our lustful desires. We should not be praying for things that Christ would not be praying for. It's easy to pray selfishly, isn't it? And we do this often. So it's best to pray Scripture in context that's been rightly divided. It means Scripture that we have studied. Praying Scripture lines us up with the Scripture, so our prayers become biblical, scriptural. And those are the prayers that our Lord and Savior hears. There's two things I want to look at this evening in reference to God is good and faithful. And that's the prayers of those who are in distress. And since God is sovereign, the Bible teaches that, why even pray? These are questions that we get. The word distress, if you take notes, it means extreme pain, anguish of body or mind. So how do we pray a biblical prayer while in distress or for someone who is in distress? You and I, we want the anguish of body or mind to be taken away as soon as it comes upon us, don't we? We don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like to hurt. We don't like stress because of what it does to us. So we want these things to be taken away as soon as it comes upon us, or as soon as it comes upon our loved ones. We want God to take it away. But what we've got to understand is that often it's God's will that we hurt. Now I know those who are mixed up in the prosperity, health, wealth teaching would have a cow right now saying it's never God's will that we hurt, but yet we see that through the Bible. See, when we are hurting, we are driven to Him. And when things are out of control, we go to Him who is in total control. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Casting all your care upon Him is a rolling off from you onto Him. And this implies a closeness. In order to roll from one to another, we must be close, shouldn't we? Psalms 22:11 says, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." He's crying out to God. We've been learning on Wednesday nights that we're not to put our trust in men, are we? Or in princes. No one can help us like our God can. And folks, our God is faithful, and our God is good. Who is our God? Is He cold and rigid? Is He somewhere away from us? I mean, does He even care what's going on in our lives? These are questions that people ask. The book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verses 12 through 13 says, "And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God." You know what we can say? The God who is faithful, the God who is good, He is our God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Listen, if you're saved, when you are in times of distress, when you are at your wit's end, as we learned this morning, remember that God is our God. This expresses personal relationship. We belong to God by eternal election, by redemption, and by regenerating power. And that's all supernatural works of God. He is our God. We can say with the psalmist, "Lord, I am yours and you are mine." We are a needy people, aren't we? We are. And we are dependent upon the Lord. Y'all know He loves His children? He loves us. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. He doesn't just whip us all the time, does He? Is it good to get whippings? Some people today have no idea what that means. They're missing out on a lot of goodness, aren't they? Some of you kids know what the goodness is about. They're all pointing to Jack. Except for Jericho, he said, point to himself. Our Father in heaven He has both the willingness and the power to answer the prayers of His children. How much greater is our Heavenly Father than our earthly fathers? Well, there's no comparison. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Verses 7 through 11. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. But what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" Again, we learned this morning about the goodness of God. What's good in our eyes and what's good in the Lord's eyes can be different, can't it? What is it that lines us up with the Lord? It is the Scriptures. To understand more about who we are, more about who our God is. And we know that when we pray according to the will of God, we can expect our prayers to be answered. He is our God who is good and faithful. Here's a quote by A.W. Pink. Has it not been thus with each of us? Has not the bountiful one given above our expectations? Can we say amen? Go back, my brother, my sister, to the dawn of your Christian life. Recall the season when you were under conviction of sin and a weighty sense of the wrath of God oppressed you. Did your desires at that time ascend any higher than to be delivered from the everlasting burnings and be granted on assurance of pardon? Bring your mind back to that time when you were painfully aware of being in the far country, where you sought in vain to find satisfaction in the husk the swine fed on. And when you cried, "I perish with hunger," at that time did your aspirations go beyond that of the prodigal? Would you not have been quite content the Father had made you one of His hired servants? Ah, how truly did He then do exceeding abundantly above all that you asked or thought. He gave you a welcome such as you never dreamed of. He greeted you with manifestations of love that completely melted your heart. He decked you out with clothing befitting His favored child. He spread a feast before you and filled your heart with merriment. And my friend, He has not changed. He is still the all-bountiful one. Quote by A.W. Pink. Think about that. When God began to convict you and quicken you, is what the Bible says, when He saved our souls, what is it that we were crying out from? We were crying out, "Lord, deliver me from the penalty of my sins." And how we would have been content with just that, right? When you get to that place where you understand that hell is real and people really go there every day and that's what you deserve, and then yet God saved your soul, how much more did He do than just save your soul? He didn't just deliver you from the penalty of sin. He made you a son of God. He adopted you. You're one of His children. Amen. And God loves His children. We don't really grasp how much God loves us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 1 John 4:10, "Here is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Listen, He is our God. He is good and He is faithful. Most of us are familiar with the book of Job. Brother Darrell preached through that book a long time ago. And Job was a man who knew what it meant to be in distress, didn't he? In a matter of minutes, his world was turned upside down. In our day, can you imagine getting those phone calls or those text messages back to back to back to back? Job said this in Job 14:1, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And since we are all full of trouble, it is a blessing that we are here for a short time. If you're saved, it's a blessing to be here for a short time. And how we respond during these times really shows us how strong our faith is. If our faith is not biblical faith, then it is sin. Let's go to the book of Job, right in front of the book of Psalms. Go to Job chapter 1. verse 6, Job chapter 1. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them, and the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yeah, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God has fallen from heaven, hath burned up the sheep. And the servants consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind in the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men. They are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Notice, it says, And while he was yet speaking, boom, 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 boom. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God. You know what Job had in the Lord? Faith. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them, to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him, destroy him without cause. Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. We also see where that Satan cannot do nothing unless the Lord allows it. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord? The hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this Job, and all this did not Job sin with his lips. Read that again. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? At whose hand? Who allowed Job to go through all this? God did. Was God wrong? Did God hate Job? No. God's never wrong. Never wrong. The opposite, and I didn't say this morning, but the opposite of good is evil. See, God is always good. God is never evil. Yet He allows these things to come upon us in our lives. Job's faith is truly amazing. Stop and think about, if this was to happen to us, we would be crushed under this load, wouldn't we? And we know that God's grace is sufficient. No one wants to go through what Job went through. No one in their right mind. Job understood who God is and who he himself is. Job was not stoic. He was not smiling and cutting up. No, Job was hurting. His wife was hurting. If you keep reading, you get to chapter 3, and you see where Job complains to God, and he cries out, he wished that he'd never been born. Been better off if he hadn't been born. Do you think Job was hurting? He was. So you and I, we live life. We make plans for ourselves, for our kids. And we don't even realize the grace of God upon our lives. See, trouble can be right around the corner. That phone call or that knock on your door and you are plunged into distress. Plunged. The Bible further explains our condition in the book of Psalm, and this would be a good psalm to read. Psalm chapter 22, verses 14 and 15 says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of the earth. There are times that we receive news and it is as though we have no more strength in our body. We fall to the ground. It's like this burden is crushing us. I told a story many times whenever I had to go tell Toya that her mom had been killed in a car accident. She had no idea. She went through her day. Dealing with the kids at the school, and she's happy she's about to get off, and I'm sure she's ready to go home, and she had no idea what was going on. I was there working behind the school. Brother Jimmy Bird come got me and told me what had happened, and I remember having to reach up and grab a dozer because I got lightheaded myself and about fell. I told Brother Jimmy, I said, Brother Jimmy, I got to go tell Toya. I said, I can't do it. I need you to do it. Be the bearer of bad news. It's hard. It's harder for the one who the news hits like that. And we went in a separate room, and Brother Jimmy come in there, and as I told Toya what had happened, she hit the floor screaming. That's what it means to be poured out like water. That his bones and his they're out of joint. His heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of his mouth. His strength is dried up like a potsherd. His tongue cleaveth to his jaws. Brought to the dust of the earth. That was more than she could bear. So what do we do during this time? Do we get mad at God? Listen, some people do. Psalm 22:11 says, Be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Psalm 57:1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be over past. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And how about this one, a real popular verse, Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. That means he is our shepherd. He is our God who is good and faithful. He is. We go through trials, tribulations in life. Things that we wouldn't wish on our worst enemy. And when we go through these things, we understand that God, he delights in delivering us. He delights in bringing us through trials and tribulations. Often, we want to say, Lord, I'm going to be done now, over with. That's not always the case. Sometimes, oftentimes, He brings us through those trying times. Through those tribulations. And once you get through, you stop back, look at it, and say, there's no way I could have made it through that by myself. Not possible without the Lord getting me through. He loves us, doesn't He? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we are, ourselves are comforted of God. Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. We can cry out, oh, what a Savior is ours. Oh, what God is our God. He is good. He is faithful. The fact is this, no one likes going through trials, do we? I don't. I'd rather everything just go how I think it should go. But that's not always God's way. See, our comfort comes from the Lord. And we can say the greater the trial, the greater the comfort will be. I don't know anyone that's went through trials such as Job. I mean, to lose everything. 10 kids? And all that he owned within a matter of minutes. Now, I know some people have went through some very severe trials. And how great a comfort was God to Job. Wonderful. Ultimately, one day, we will be delivered from every trial and tribulation. That day is coming. And we will be with Christ for eternity. Y'all know what the book of Revelation tells us. Chapter 21, verses 3 through 4. See, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness. These things are what? That's why he says, "Behold, I make all things new. All things are new." So God is in control. God does deliver us. So how should we pray during times of distress? We are to confess our need and our dependence upon the Lord. We are to praise Him in all things, even in afflictions. And ultimately, we are to pray the Scriptures. Some of the same Scriptures that we've learned tonight from the book of Psalms and other places. Pray the Scriptures. We have to understand this, that God does not always deliver us the way that we would like to be delivered. We got to keep that in mind. I have to continually say that. Listen, because I promise you, I will not have gotten wine to get a special needs child. But now that we're there, I would get in line now to get Anna. I would. Where before I wouldn't have. And yes, there are times that it's hard when you see your little girl hurting and having seizures or whatever else it may be, and there's absolutely nothing you can do. That's hard. And yet God's grace is sufficient. God is faithful. We do pray for a cure for Rett syndrome. We pray God would work a miracle. And we know He's well able. But we're not always delivered the way that we would like to be delivered. I mentioned this morning about Paul, how he had prayed 3 times to be delivered from that thorn in his flesh. That was a sin to buffet him. And God said, "No, my grace is sufficient." And we could say this, that Paul would say at that point that he, my God, is good and faithful. So since God is sovereign, why even pray? Understand that prayer does not line God up with us. Prayer, and I've heard people say that prayer moves God. No, prayer does not move God. God does not move. Prayer brings us in line with God. Prayer does not change God's plan, but rather gets us in line with His will. See, we've learned about there is an end, and there is a means to an end, and God uses means to get to these ends, right? And one of those means is prayer. God would have us pray. God would have us dependent upon Him. We are actually commanded to pray. See, God has a purpose in everything He commands us to do. We are not robots, are we? Ephesians 6, 18 and 19 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Paul's writing these letters and asking these things for prayer, and he's in prison. His health is terrible. He's not asking for healing in these prayers right here. He's not asking to get out of prison. He's praying for a door of utterance to preach the gospel. He wants to be able to open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible says, "Pray without ceasing." Again, prayer does not move God. It moves us. And when we pray biblically, we are lining up with God's will. And when we're doing that, then we can expect, and we know that God hears us. And 1 John 5, 13-15 tells us we can expect God to answer our prayers. First and foremost, you have to make sure that you know, according to the Word of God, that you are saved. Because the Bible makes these things clear. And then, are you praying according to His will? And we praise God that He's given us access to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He wants us to come to Him. We truly have a good God, don't we? He is truly faithful, isn't He? Amen? He truly loves His children. He loves His own. And He loves us until the end. And we, like Paul and others in the Bible, we can stand up and say, He is my God who is good and faithful. Amen. Let's pray.